Hello friends, I'm going to be covering chapter number 11 of Principles of Management. In chapter number 10, we talked about directing, a process called directing, which is vertical process. Now in this, we are be discussing coordinating or coordination, which is a horizontal process. So after you read or you watch my lecture on chapter number 10, directing, you can immediately go and watch this particular module which I am talking about right now, because both of them are complementary to each other. Whenever there is a directing, there is a need for us to understand coordinating as well. Now these two terminologies are used in a certain context in when we study management. So what is a horizontal process, what is coordinating, we will be discussing right now. And we are also covering in this chapter about managers versus leaders, leadership as a process. Very briefly we are covering it, because coordination and leadership has got a connection, right? Now let's take it further. Coordination is a team effort. Coordination is not about one person, it's about a number of people coming together. One person initiates it. He takes up the initiative on his own to coordinate. And when he initiates, he needs a team to come forward and make things happen. It means, coordination means people coming together, particularly people from dissimilar sections coming together. The important thing about coordination, when you use the word coordination, remember, it's not about same type of people, it is dissimilar people. I hear HODs of companies saying that I coordinated with my department. That's an improper expression. I direct my department, but I coordinate with other departments. So when I talk about coordination, it's about dissimilar people coming together, and then they are building what are called as bridges. That's why we say it's a horizontal process. Building bridges is a horizontal process. So when we talk about coordination, we are talking about creating linkages among dissimilar sections so that we are able to work towards the common goals of the organization, right? Directing and coordinating are complementary functions, as I told you. Directing is a vertical function. On the other hand, coordinating is a horizontal function. It creates linkages between different verticals. We have a marketing vertical, we have a production vertical, we have a finance vertical. Now creating a linkage so that they come together and give the goals of the company is the process of coordination. If coordination does not take place, we all know what happens. Big havoc. Operation successful, patient dead, we say. So what really happens is the HR may work extremely efficient within the department. The operation may work very efficient within the department. But if there is no connection, linkage between what HR does and operation does, the organization will be affected. It's not enough that the unit alone works well, but all the units have to be linked together so that we attain the goals of the organization. Now that linkaging, that process of linkaging is coordinating, right? Taking it further, it involves talking to persons across a line to get certain things done. It creates linkages between dissimilar functions. It unifies the work of one section with some other section. Unification. The HR people are involved in manpower, recruitment, training, development, etc. for the company. The people aspect of resources. The operations people are taking care of the manufacturing, converting materials through machines into finished goods and products, and then getting back the money is done by the finance people. Now each one does what he does, but the unification, bringing them together towards a common goal, is the function of coordination. It requires skill to understand each other, and this skill is not there with many managers, and so they do not become good leaders. Now here is where we need to discuss about coordination versus directing. Directing is an imperative. It means whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, the moment you work in an organization, in a position, directing is an integral part of your work. There's no escape from there. You have to do it as a part of the call of duty. Because if I do not direct, if I do not give instructions and orders, I won't be able to be effective in getting my work done. So directing is an imperative. Point number two, directing is a managerial process. Directing is a managerial process. Now, who is a manager? A manager is one who converts resources into finished goods or services by mobilizing all the resources based on the goals to be achieved. He works within a certain framework, a certain position, a certain boundary. He is constrained to work in the boundary because of the process of management. Managerial process always confines you to a boundary. He has to be following certain rules, procedures, etc. And in most cases, managers do only what they are supposed to do, and they rise up into their vertical specialization to which they belong. This being the case, rarely you will find managers going across to other departments, going across and trying to understand how their function and the other department's function is linkaged. Very rarely you come across managers who even know how the other department works. Now, this being the case, let us say I'm a production engineer. I started my career as a production engineer. So let us say that I become a production manager and I go right up to the top and I know about production in and out. If I am playing the role of a manager, what happens is I know about production only and I may not at all, or I may have very little knowledge about materials. I may have very little knowledge about how HR functions. Now that is how managers are. Many of you listening to me may be coming from verticals in which you are specialized, and you will agree to an extent that you can't think laterally, think horizontally about how the other department must be functioning. And since you don't think on lateral terms, what happens? You are not able to understand the language of the other department. Language meaning, how do they work? What is the process of working? Why are they giving importance to certain things which you do not give importance? So once I know why they are doing what they are doing, linkages happen. Managers normally, through the call of the duty, through the call of the work that they are into, they don't do it. So managers remain managers. And because they remain managers, they are not able to understand the actions and the thinking process of leaders. Most managers are not able to understand the thinking process and the actions of leaders. Now, who are leaders? Leaders are those people who take their own initiative. They take their own initiative. They are also managers, but some managers take their own initiative and they go across laterally and connect to other people. Leadership will never happen unless and until you are willing to coordinate. So what is coordination? Coordination is not an imperative. If you don't coordinate, nothing wrong is going to happen to you. But if you coordinate, you will rise to become a leader. 80% of the people do not really coordinate, as in getting linkages done. So they remain as managers and they retire as managers. HODs specialize in some field or the other. But there is a small group of people who stretch themselves beyond their own specialization, make bridges, understand how the other departments work, create a lot of human relations, and then unify their efforts, their own specialized efforts, with the specialized efforts of the other sections of the company. These people do it out of their own initiative. Nobody tells them to do it. Now, when you do something of your own initiative, slightly stepping out of the box of your position, what happens? There's a risk element. When something goes wrong, it backfires on you, and then somebody may turn around and ask you, was it to be done by you in the call of your duty? And you may be put under a mat. They say, this is not done, so don't do it. So people who lack courage, people who do not have a risk appetite, you'll find them staying as managers. They are somewhat scared, so they don't take any risk and they don't go out and do something. If I have to coordinate, for example, with other departments of whatever I'm doing, then it involves me taking a risk. And there, the managerial thinking people might say that, why are you wasting your time and doing these things which are not a part of your duty? Don't you find this being asked many times? So the point to be noted is that leaders see the larger picture. When I see the larger picture and I work even beyond my scope of my work, even beyond the position which I'm holding, even beyond my job specification, there are two ways of working beyond the job specification. One is working unknowingly because I love to work, not seeing the larger picture. But if I see the larger picture and I also love to work and I would like to stretch my work even beyond the confines of my position, that is leadership. For example, many of us, we work and do things which is not told to be done to us because we see the larger picture of building brand for the institute. If, for example, something I feel I need to do so that the name of the institute goes up, the brand gets built, the purpose for which the institute is existing, if I understand the purpose and I say that this is my duty, but the purpose of this duty is to see that I do my bit for the purpose of the goals of the organization. But I realize that there is something else that is waiting for attention. If I stretch myself to attend to that, even beyond the confines of my duty, it appears as if I am overstepping my limits. But when I do it, I'm doing it with the context that by doing this, I'm going to build the brand of the organization. I'm going to build the reputation of the organization. I'm going to make the customers understand the organization and really come back to us. So there are very few people who take this risk and go beyond seeing the larger picture. Such people are called as leaders. And if these leaders have to be leaders, they need to have this particular quality called coordination. Directing is a choice. Directing is not a choice, whereas coordination is a choice. Directing is an imperative, you have to do it, but coordination is a choice, you may not do it. But the ones who do it, they really get a payoff. There's a risk element, but there's a payoff. I stretching myself beyond the confines of my production, going and coordinating with marketing, helps me to understand when the marketing people are asking me for some deliveries to be done, I know why they are asking. When the dispatch people come and tell me that the production has to be scheduled on so and so date so that the dispatch becomes smooth, I'll know about it only when I coordinate with the dispatch people and I understand their work complexities. So in this manner, as we start coordinating willingly, and we start seeing the other side of the picture of the whole organization, then what happens is we are seeing the larger picture of the whole organization. And then we see our own work from a broader context. And when we see our own work from a broader context, what happens? We are able to see the work much more clearly and we produce results much more effectively. So this part of the discussion is very important for us to understand that there are lot of managers who direct, but there are few leaders who coordinate, right? So it requires skills to understand each other. This skill is not there with many managers, and so they do not become good leaders. Leadership is not a position. Leadership is a process, the way you think and act, the way you take risk. To become a good leader, we need to be very good in coordination. So remember two things: directing, managers; coordination, leaders. A leader today took up the initiative of coordinating yesterday. A manager today who remains a manager has remained a manager because he was only focusing on directing. So if you really want to grow in the organization and go up into the very senior positions, then you need to be a good coordinator. I do come across people in industries where I go and do training, they have risen to become a somebody in the company, in the department. 15 years experience, 20 years experience, experts. But they have no inkling about the organization working. And they are aspiring to go higher into the board level. Now that's not possible. The second aspect is the personality of the person. Some people are just not wanting to coordinate or talk to somebody else. They are full of themselves, or they are saying they are introverted people and they rise up but they are good in what they do. That's all. They have a small world around them and they focus on that. Perfectly okay as far as they are concerned. But if there's an ambition which says I want to go up, then they have to stretch themselves and come out of their comfort zone and their box and actually do coordination. Okay? So friends, actually I'm discussing about the difference between leaders and managers. So when we talk about coordination, it's about leadership. Now coordination is a process which is a personal initiative. Not everybody enjoys or is comfortable coordinating with dissimilar people. 90% of the managers you'll find, they are only concerned about their work and they may talk to other departments only when there's a need. Otherwise, they are really not interested in knowing about other departments, right? So coordination is a skill which is self-driven. It's an out-of-box action beyond the call of your duty, beyond the confines of your position. And this type of a coordination is essential for companies to become effective in whatever they do, right? So taking it further, what are the features or the characteristics of coordination? Number one is managerial responsibility. It means that every departmental head, every person who's working as a manager has to understand that his work alone is not important. He has to also create linkages with the other departments horizontally. So every departmental head is responsible to coordinate the efforts of his subordinates, and it is inherent to the manager's job and the responsibility. Now, although this wording says it is inherent to the manager's job, many managers do not do this. They are supposed to be acting not only as HODs, not only as executives, but they must also create linkages with other departments. Now that linkages when you create, it's a coordination. It's like, you know, facilitating other departments to do your work by encouraging them to do it by understanding what they're doing. Now this is something which has to be done very clearly, and it is one of the managerial responsibility. Then comes provides unity of action. When we coordinate, what we do, all the various departments converge towards the goals of the organization. The unity of purpose starts multiplying. And then there is no disconnect between what the left does and what the right does. Okay? And unity of action is necessary to achieve common objectives. It is the heart of the coordination process. If I want to get things done, I cannot say that this is only my job. Today in global working, all of us know that there are specialists, but specialists have to work in a very multi-generic environment. If you notice, organizations are having the matrix structure now. A typical matrix organization, there's multiple reporting and every person is responsible to each other. Now, is that not coordination? The answer is yes. So when we talk about coordination, it's important in global organizations when we are all running to make things happen. In an ever-changing environment, the coordination cannot happen unless and until people are willing to be reporting to each other, to be networking with each other, and to make things happen. So in today's context, I would say directing is already there, but coordination is more important, right? And taking it further, it is necessary to all levels. It's not about only top to bottom. It's not about HODs talking to each other, but it's not brought by force or left by chance. Coordination is something that comes through the initiative. I must see the broader picture of what I'm doing. And all of you who are listening to me will agree that when you see the broader picture, the existing work, however small it may be, it adds a certain flavor. It's like I am providing some teaching services to someone, a subject I'm talking about to someone. Take the case of this lecture itself. I am discussing about this lecture on coordination to you. I can take it by two different formats. In one format, I'll say, I talk only about the subject, about coordination, and be done with it. What am I doing here? I'm being narrow in my perspective. When I say narrow, I don't mean negative. I mean that I'm only talking about coordination, and it may be heard by many of you in isolation. You may not realize the other aspects and how the connectivity takes place. The other way of facilitating this particular topic of coordination is connected with other topics which are covered in other chapters. Now, when I talk about coordination with respect to departmentation, with respect to span of management, with respect to directing, does the whole picture emerge or not? Now, this is another form of coordination in action. Even when you learn a subject, my dear friends, when you learn a subject, do you see the connection of the subject A, subject B, subject C, which seem to be unrelated? Those management students who see the connection, bring about the connection, they turn out to be understanding the managerial process overall. So I'm giving you certain examples, non-corporate examples, which you have to identify as coordination. One more example that comes to my mind is a wedding taking place in a family, in a family. When a wedding takes place, there are a number of activities we need to do, verticals. Somebody has to go and fix the photographer. Somebody has to go and fix up the caterer. There'll be one person who's going and picking up relatives and friends from airports and railway stations. Right? All of us agree, in many homes, when there's a family wedding like this, the coordination is lacking. Does it happen or not? And when the coordination lacks, the greatest problem is it creates misunderstandings. It creates misunderstandings. And everything will go on well, but still there'll be a lot of negative energy. Now, if after learning this particular topic, you are able to do a coordination in a small thing like a home function, will it not be fantastic? Will it not be great? Will it not be effective? Everybody does his job. At the same time, they create linkages. Creating linkages is coordination. Okay? Relevant of group efforts. Group efforts rather than individual efforts are necessary to bring coordination. Like I told you earlier, it is not one person who's coordinating. I initiate a coordination process. I must encourage a group of people to go along and create linkages. When we do it frequently, then we start getting the same vibes back. An individual cannot work without affecting the functions of the others. It emphasizes on group efforts. So coordination is about group efforts. Taking it further, it's a continuous and a dynamic process. This is very interesting. Very, very interesting. Unlike directing, a directing function is such. Directing function is a part of the legitimacy of your work. You are in a particular position. Because you are in a position, you have to direct. So directing automatically happens as an imperative. In this case, I may build a bridge willingly, but I must stay tuned on a continuous dynamic basis. Because if I don't stay tuned continuous dynamic basis, I may lose touch with what's going on. Within the department, when I'm directing vertically down, I'm not out of touch because it's a day-to-day activity which I have to do. But coordination is something which I may slacken after some time, assuming that I've already built bridges and everything will go up well. No, it doesn't happen that way, because these are basically informal equations we create. When I'm coordinating, I'm actually informally going and connecting to people. Directing is formal and coordination is informal. Since anything informal, what happens is it has to be always kept reinforced. If I become an informal friend with you, then I have to keep the friendship on a continuous dynamic basis. Otherwise, the flavor of the friendship will get lost. Okay, the next one is systems concept. What do you mean by systems concept? It means that a system is nothing but it's a collection of number of components, number of parts. Each part is functioning on its own and all the parts are linked with each other. The system functions when all the parts are functioning themselves alone well at the same time when the linkages are happening. If any one part or any one linkage breaks, then the whole system suffers. That is called as systems disintegration. When systems are together, when the system is there, the parts are together, they are all linked with each other, that is called as systems integration. So if I want coordination to happen, if I do coordination, I find that the systems concept of the systems integration takes place. Next, I take you to unity in diversity. It means it's reworded what I told you sometime back. The organization is all working towards its goal. Tata Motors has to create cars and sell it to the public. Now, different departments are there. The manufacturing units, the quality control, the sourcing department, the sales, marketing, etc. Now, all of them are diverse, but all of them have to unify into attaining the goals of the organization. That's unity in diversity. Next comes teamwork or unity of direction. It's again, the team within the department is a team anyway, and the team of all the various departments coming together are a team unto themselves. For unity in diversity to happen, we need to have teamwork and unity of direction as well. Then we talk about functional differentiation. Each department tries to perform its function in isolation from others. It's true, because they are different specialized functions. It creates a problem. Therefore, coordination is necessary to integrate the functions of the related departments. A lot of wordings are given, whatever I've already explained. Next, we go to specialization. A specialist know thoroughly about their respective fields. If you are a specialist in production, you know about production A to Z, but you may not know about marketing. You may have some peripheral idea. You don't have to go and be a marketing person all over again. Now, this specialist is able to judge the scope and nature of the work they perform. About their work, their nature of work, they know very well. But they do not know the job of others and the importance of other performances. This tends to cause a dispute among the specialists, and such disputes could be solved by the help of coordination. I see my point of view as a production person. For me, production matters, quality matters. I may delay the delivery because this is my focus. The marketing colleague of mine will come and tell me, look, I need this particular material to be delivered to the customer. I have made a promise. Now, I am not willing to see his point of view because I am totally focused to my point of view. When both of us sit together and we do not have a coordination, then there is bound to be disputes. And this happens in many organizations because the coordination thinking is not there. The coordination thinking is not there. Today, we talk about a thinking process called integrative thinking. So that actually tells us that every person, wherever he is working, even in a specialized area, he develops a larger picture of understanding his own job. It's a type of a tutoring, a training that occurs, right? Then the reconciliation of goals. Coordination reconciles the employee's goals with both the department and the organization goals. Which means, I am given a goal to do. For example, right now I am taking a lecture on coordination, my goal. Now when I understand this goal from the DLP department's point of view, larger picture, and then from the institute's point of view, the largest picture, then I will be able to do this job much better. So when I coordinate with the department, understanding their needs, when the department coordinates with the organization, that is Wellinker, and all of us are coordinating with each other in terms of needs, then the unit, the person who's talking to you right now, he will be in a better position to deliver the lecture with a lot of effectiveness, right? Now we come to large number of employees. Whenever an organization is very big, very huge, all of you will agree, things go out of control. Lot of Chinese whispers, lot of gossip, lot of things can happen. And then everybody will be doing work, but nobody will be doing the work which is required to be done, coordination. And there'll be some people who are not doing anything at all, and yet they act busy. Now a large organization has to definitely have coordination. Many large organizations are overstaffed and coordination doesn't take place. At the end of the day, the customers suffer. The customers have an issue, right? Then we talk about congruity of flows. Coordination ensures smooth and continuous flow of information, very clear. I don't get hearsay information, I get real information. Now we talk about empire building. Empire building simply means that the organization has to gain its reputation, its brand, its presence in the market. Now, all of us will agree as we are extending the discussion that the organization reputation, brand, etc. cannot be built unless there is a coordination. Somebody somewhere stretches himself to go along and pass on the message of the vision of the company. Now, who does it? Does the company have a vision? Yes. Are people nominated to do that specifically? One or two may be there. There may be a corporate communications department. But there are certain people willingly, they see the larger picture and they are very contagious in going and telling about it. Now such people facilitate in empire building of the organization. What does it say? It says the officers of the top portion of the line organization always expect cooperation from staff officers. However, the line officers are not ready to extend their cooperation to staff officers. It creates conflicts between them. Therefore, coordination is necessary to avoid conflicts between the line and the staff officers. This was one simple example this author has given. Okay. But I would like to extend the discussion beyond that. When you say empire building, it's a larger picture. What is given here is between a staff and a line function. Assuming that line people do not cooperate, It's both ways, in fact, right? Then we talk about differentiation and integration. The whole activity of every organization is classified into two units. I differentiate. Differentiate means I break them up into different specialization groups so that they do the job properly. Simplification and also specialization, we call it. Now, after the specialization is over, each one gives its output. They have to be linked together. That's where the integration comes. So the whole activity of every organization is classified into two units. They are specialized and homogeneous units, and authority is delegated to the various units of the organization. This is necessary to achieve group efforts, and coordination facilitates the process. Okay, taking it further, early start. Coordination should be started right from the planning function of the management. This is something very crucial. Nothing is standalone in any organization. Whenever we are working with groups, nothing is standalone. I cannot say it is not my job. I've done my bit of it. If things don't work out well, what can I do? That is not the way an organization leader has to work. So I have to start the coordination process right at the beginning, at the time when the process already starts, the project already starts. Okay? The management should prepare the plan after consulting the concerned officials. Now see how planning is done in some places. They plan in isolation. And then, you know, it is driven down to the people that you do this. When it is driven down, the planner may be theoretical and imaginative in his approach without knowing the ground reality. Is it not important for the planner to involve the people from the shop floor, the people from the design, to come and sit with them so that at the time when they are planning for the production for the next full year, they get the reality check about what is going on? Now that is essential, and hence we say that it has to have an early start. Then it's all about personal contact. It's all about personal contact. Coordination doesn't take place unless and until I build bridges with you willingly, informally. If I go and try to show my position and I try to be a little arrogant with you, coordination doesn't take place, because coordination is networking is always a friendly approach. Friendly approach, seeing the larger picture. That works. And it is also respectful towards each other's functions. Right?